Have you spent much time in virtual reality?
No, I haven't actually. I kind of like avoid it. Other than like 3D movies every now and again, I kind of prefer to stay in my normal sort of real life body. Also, because as far as I know, like the good VR experiences usually require like some sort of like heavy duty camera system, or they require quite a beefy laptop, which I don't necessarily have. So yeah, I did try this one experience once where it was you basically it uses a number of cameras that are in a inhospitable environment. So this environment was like growing plants under the water. And they do this in parts of Spain actually, where it's like basically a way of preventing pests from entering like that contained environment. So by growing it underwater, you like, you know, you can have organic plants without having to use pesticides, right? The challenge is that in order to check what's going on down under the water, is that you need to have either a diver go down and check it, or you have cameras and you have a number of IoT sensors that you can then kind of get a perspective of how they're doing, but not necessarily see how they're doing.
Another note over there, it's definitely not the HoloLens because the HoloLens was, or I'm not sure if it's still ongoing, but it was the first to be commercialized augmented reality headset, but they never really pulled through and it wasn't released.
Which is the one from Microsoft? What do they
That's the
call
one,
that?
that's the one, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, I
Okay.
don't think they ever released it, but I could be wrong. This is a good, oh, 10 years ago.
You're too much of an Apple fanboy.
Well, so I've actually played around with the well, obviously the HTC Vive and the first generations of Oculus. I actually worked as a virtual reality developer for a while, and then I've more recently played with the Quest and the PSVR, and those have gotten pretty good, but overall, like, I'm fairly jaded with VR for gaming. It's the big hurdle, I think, for me inside of the gaming space is the fact that you can't actually move around, because you're space constrained. So every experience that you do, you have to figure out how to get you from point A to point B. So if you're inside of a simulation where you are constrained to like the cockpit of a spaceship, then I think it works really well. But as soon as you need to, you're a character who's walking, like a first person or like a shooting game or something like that, you need to figure out how to get from point A to point B. And different games do this differently. Like some of them have this pulling mechanism where you pull yourself along. Some of them have a teleporting mechanism. I don't find any of those to be particularly good, and I don't think any of them solve it elegantly. So I think that we had this idea of like virtual reality potentially being Ready Player One, but until we can figure out how to move around like that, the experiences are actually kind of constrained. Hey everyone, welcome to the Idea Roastery. I'm Herman. There's Jason, and today we're going to be talking about not VR as you might think, but spatial computing. I know that sounds like a pretentious term that's made up by Apple, but I think they were very deliberate in their word choice over that because they're not creating a alternate reality or a virtual reality that is like a video game. Instead, what they're doing is they're utilizing a person's perception of space better. Hopefully, and from the reviews of the Apple Vision Pro, I am getting the feeling that they managed to really make some good little screens in there, and that the visual fidelity is great. So that's what we're discussing.
Yeah. And to go back to your previous point, I think I do agree that the movement part of VR is obviously never, well, it's going to be a long time until that is sorted out. So where I see it becoming the most beneficial is places where you are fairly stationary. Or if it's to, I mean, if you're doing augmented reality, I think it's different, right? Because you kind of need to have that physicality around you. So you need to have some perspective of the environment that you're in. So maybe for gaming, it kind of loses some aspect in terms of like an immersive experience, because I think when you talk about consoles, you talk about gaming, they want to have this like you feel immersed in the game.
This is coming from, like, again, I worked with VR and AR for a long period of time, and I have a hard time determining what useful augmented reality works for. Like, I don't actually I can't actually think of a proper broad use case. So the best I can kind of imagine is that you have essentially, like phone-like functionality that you don't have to pull your phone out of your pocket, but you're just wearing glasses in your everyday, kind of like what Google Glass was trying to do, although they tried a bit too early to do something so complex. But as in terms of augmented reality, I don't see much of a use for it, and I'm probably going to be proven wrong sometime in the future.
I have a use. So I saw this one company. What they were doing is they were. This is for old people, right? And one of the challenges with old people is that sometimes they have like motor neuron challenges. So, in order to stimulate in the sense of rehabilitation after they've like maybe had gone through an accident or something like that. I saw this company that had this AR experience that you can put on an old person, and it shows them like a hurdle or things that they need to step over. And so what they could do is that by doing these like stepping exercises and these movement exercises in the augmented reality headset, it was kind of moving their muscles in a way that it was kind of like a good way of doing rehabilitation therapy. So in the sense of like, physio, those kind of environments, having a little bit of a gaming element means that you can probably just put it on, do a few of these exercises in the day.
Yeah, I get that use case. To be honest though, is I still kind of think that that would be more easily and better done in virtual reality. Just because if like okay, you have to have a bit of posture, and all the new headsets do have that to make sure that you don't actually like bump into the furniture and stuff. But there's no reason that you have to be able to see the living room while seeing the hurdles, right? And I'm dubious about the actual usefulness still of augmented reality. I think that we're going to see a lot of it in the future, but I don't think it is that useful of a thing. I think it is just a cool thing. As an example, in Apple's the Vision Pro's tech demo, or in their announcement ad, it has a lot of people sitting in their living room with the display window in front of them. And like, there's no reason why it needs to be in your living room. You may as well be, on the International Space Station in low Earth orbit, or on the top of Table Mountain, with beautiful vistas, and something like very unclaustrophobic, right? You have a theoretically infinite amount of space. There's no reason why you need to have the walls of your house, especially considering that like 90% of the population doesn't have a super big, comfortable living room. They'd much prefer to be on Mount Olympus, right? So I think that it is neat, but I don't think it is that useful.
I think I don't know if we're thinking about AR and VR in the same sense. So I think from the point of view of like, I think one of the demos or one of the ideas of the Vision Pro is that instead of me having a laptop, I can just put these Vision Pros on and I would augment a screen in, it would be like a screen that I could work on. But it's not Would you say that's AR or is that like a VR
So
experience?
I'd say that it depends on where the screen is. Are you still seeing your living room and the screen is sitting on your coffee table in the living room? That's augmented reality. Are you on the top of Mount Olympus and you've got your screens kind of splayed out in front of you? That's VR, right? But I think that it's better to actually let's just in yeah, that's a good definition for the different ways of doing it. And I think that like if you've got a fairly small living room, why would you artificially constrain the space when if you just go full VR, you've got an infinite amount of space?
Like, I'm pretty sure there's gonna be those weirdos who have like their screen and it's just gonna be like this infinite like white plane so that when you know like in some I think there's like some horror movies where you get like put into like an infinite white
Oh,
plane.
like the Matrix, where they have that like
Yeah, where they
that
yeah
in
that's
between
a, that's
world.
it the Matrix when they're learning kung fu
Yeah.
and stuff, right? So you could put yourself in that environment and then you just have your laptop.
Yeah.
I think maybe they do it because if it's too much of like a moving background, maybe they need to have a lot more sort of compute power, and maybe having a kind of static image, it's just doing the difference between each frame, and so maybe it's a little bit of a more efficient way of doing it.
Well, so you and I have also spoken before about the importance of having like a good workspace and also a consistent workspace. And I think that having a workspace that is virtual is actually such a neat idea. And I've been thinking about this back when VR headsets were shit, right? Back when the Oculus was pixelated and you couldn't spend more than an hour in there without getting a severe headache, the idea that you have, I'm going to keep using Mount Olympus as my ideal place to have my workspace, right? But the fact that you can be anywhere in the world, I'm currently traveling, as you know, and so we're taking this call from my hotel room. But earlier, I was in a co-working space. I worked from a cafe for a bit, and each of these different places are like have different effects on the way that I work. Some of them are a bit too noisy. Some of them, like in the co-working space, for some odd reason, the quiet room also has the servers in it, and there's just this really high-pitched whine the entire time. And so, which is why I'm here at the hotel to have this conversation with you, but being able to, no matter where you are, just step into your office, which also happens to be the top of Mount Olympus, is just such a cool thing to me because it means that like the flow is within grasp.
In terms of like an adapt, like ad adapting to that, right? Because we've spoken about this before, is like you have your space where you work. Like I have this this table where I'm sitting at, and I have my laptop. So for me to like go and stand in the kitchen, and then suddenly I have the same like laptop experience, I would find that a bit weird. But if I had AR, and then I looked over at my table, and I could see my screen was still there. Then it still has a sense of familiarity, like it's still my workspace. And I think maybe the Vision Pro, the kind of customers they targeting are pretty much in the higher end. Maybe they're going to be, I'm not discounting that you would be able to do those awesome experiences, but I think there's always going to be like a desire for some familiarity with majority of people, because like you have a workspace because you have a workspace because you can kind of like step away from it and do something else. I don't, maybe you will get these like weirdos who just like are always on their like working on their like screen in their head, but I think having it static when you move your head, like I'm seeing the screen now, and as I move it's like static. I think that is going to be what makes the jump between like a screen and like an AR.
So I'm speaking more from my like personal preferences over here, but if I'm going to go and make myself a cup of coffee in the kitchen, I'm going to take off my headset and put it down, right? And then I get my cup of coffee and I come back and I put the headset back on and now I'm back in my workspace.
Yeah, but you know that's not gonna happen, man. Like people are gonna go make themselves a coffee with their glasses on.
Perhaps. I think that one of the things that this is going to do is that a lot of people who work from home, information workers who work from home, they have to sort of dedicate a portion of their living space to be their workspace. So you've been to my apartment. You know that we have this office, and I'm very gifted to have a very beautiful office that has nice views. But the fact of the matter is that once I move to a spatial computing device, I can turn that into whatever I want because fact of the matter is I can sit on the couch and put on my workspace, right? And so I could turn that into a, I don't know, home yoga studio or whatever.
Yeah, I think the ergonomics of your body are still gonna dictate that you have at least like a chair or something,
I
right? So
actually have thought about this and I disagree with you. So I think that the only reason why we've created office chairs and stuff like that is because we have to look at these little rectangles, right? And if we take a look at, you know, super high-end setups, most of which people don't actually use because they look kind of ridiculous, but it's like those sort of lazy boy chairs that are laid back with the screens above you, sort of arrayed around you,
yeah,
is
like
that
grandma's
is
boy.
exactly, is that allows you to not hunch and stuff because gravity is kind of pulling you back down into the seat and you've got good spinal alignment, et cetera, et cetera. And in both cases, you are not using any calories. So all these arguments that we're going to end up like the people from Wall-E
Yeah.
is like we're doing that anyway.
Yeah.
We have an obesity, we have an obesity like health crisis in the West at the moment because we do a lot of work while sedentary. And whether you're sitting up straight or lying down actually doesn't change that. But it does change your back health, right? It is much healthier for you to be in a much more relaxed position. And that's why when you like game from the couch, it's a bit easier than sitting on a stool at the kitchen table.
What about the controllers? And like, do you think there's going to be an evolution in that, rather than keyboards? Because I guess, like, yeah, typing in this like spatial sense of like, you know, I'm typing on a keyboard, but I can't feel the keys. I don't think that's, I mean, some, again, like people will be okay with that, but I think maybe not in a sort of power user sense.
Yeah, well, it depends how fit do you want to get, Jason? Because I'm thinking just like using the camera pointing at you, and you have to like do the letters with your entire body, right? Like a little dance routine, and then you get like a good cardio workout while you type up
Yeah,
your email.
they can be all around you and you just like press little buttons
Yeah,
all around.
exactly. Dance, Dance Revolution. The keyboard's actually on the floor. Bop, 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 bop,
Yeah,
bop, bop, bop.
that'd be actually interesting. And then what do you think about the lower end? So like the quests and stuff, because I know like there's, so everyone was like all upset about you know, Meta rebranding or Facebook rebranding to Meta, and they were like, oh, they've lost the plot. But it seems that the Quest is a, I know, I think Quest 3 is coming out in fall, whatever that means. So it's probably like August, September sometime. But it's at a much lower price point. So what do you think about the difference between the high price point Apple Pros and the low price point Meta Quests?
Well, so I think that they're fundamentally different devices. Is the Quest is trying to be a virtual reality device, whereas the Apple Vision Pro is trying to be a spatial computer, right? And the big difference over there is, you know, what we've discussed. One is built for games and interactive experiences. The other one is built to be a productivity tool. The other thing is that while the Meta Quest does have it is a standalone device. So is the Apple Vision Pro. However, the Apple Vision Pro is intended to be a computing device for tasks other than just rendering video games. So it's going to have apps. There's going to be a ecosystem over there. The tool sets that people use for productivity are going to be built out. And so I'm keen for that. However, I do appreciate that there are multiple devices that are on the market because it will inevitably like create more better ideas. And I think if they're going to feed off of each other, and they're also going to compete with each other. And so I think that the price over time will go down. The one thing that the reviews and the videos and stuff that I've watched and the reviews I've read have said is that the Vision Pro's graphical fidelity is so good that it's you like it's almost if not entirely perfect. It's just like perfect visual fidelity, whereas other headsets you still see pixels, et cetera, et cetera. And Apple, again, high price point, expects you if you have a prescription to get custom inserts made for it, so you can't wear glasses underneath the headset, which is a usability issue until you get those inserts made, in which case it is significantly better. But it is a hassle and probably costs extra. There are a couple of things that I think Apple should have left out, and the big one for me is that front-facing camera, right? Like, this is a device that I know that, you know, department heads at Apple are sitting there like, yeah, we want people to be able to use them while being collaborative. But I just see it as being like you're putting goggles on, you're going into your own workspace, and if you need to talk to people, you take the goggles off. The fact that you can press a button and a projection of your eyes shows up in the front, just feels like a bit of a gimmick. It actually feels a bit too gimmicky for Apple. Like, they could have just replaced that with an LED that said pass-through is active, and then you wouldn't have to pay for an extra screen in the front. You wouldn't have that screen draining an already limited battery life, and that extra screen is heavy and it has to be carried by your neck.
They're just gonna put ads on there, right?
Yeah,
Because if you're inside of the AR, if you're inside of the Vision Pros, like you could just have whatever ads on the pack and you could earn yourself some money. So maybe
this man
that's
is watching porn.
that exactly, because you'd never know, right?
Well, so I can't remember where I saw this. Maybe it was in like bad startup ideas subreddit or something, but it was a e-reader, kind of like a Kindle, but it was e-ink screen on both sides, and the back was where it would show the cover of the book so that everyone else knew what you were reading.
I also agree the eyes kind of thing is a bit weird.
It's uncanny. Like, even the images that they put on their advertising material, I'm like, there's something off enough about this that it just feels a bit weird.
It feels a bit weird. And I think I also saw one review where they were like, yeah, it's a bit weird that the I think the Was it the ad that they had is like the father's like watching the son take his first steps, but he's not doing it in
That
real
was so cringy. That was
life.
so cringy. It's like this isn't for that. Like, can you just imagine the dad is just there like, oh yeah, taking pictures with my headset on. No, it's like, that's not the purpose of this, and advertising it as such is actually dumb because it gives ammo to the critics, right? I think that this overall is a brilliant step in the right direction, and I've been waiting for it. But they went and they made some choices that I'm like, guys, you're shooting yourselves in the foot over here.
I guess that's part of the, I guess people are with new technologies, right? There's a sense of like trying to bridge between what people know and what this new technology is. So what I imagine there is that that's just kind of like a taking of what we have, like recording someone doing something amazing, and then translating it into this new tech to help people make that connection into what it could be doing. But I think, as you said, the that human element of learning about AR and VR, it could be way different, right? It could be like they didn't show that kid walking on an infinite plane in the Matrix or on the top of a Mount Olympus, right? So I think it's kind of like you want to get people to be okay with it. And so you have to kind of take some references from what people already know so that they can.
I have a pretty good example of my perception of AR. So you remember when Pokemon Go just really had its day. Like people were out and about getting in front of traffic to catch, I don't know,
Weevils or whatever.
Weedles. They weren't getting in front of traffic to catch Weedles coming out. They were getting in front of traffic to catch at least like a Mr. Mime.
Yeah.
Right. But everyone who actually spent a decent amount of time playing that game ended up turning off the augmented reality mode, right? Because it didn't add anything to the experience. It had that cool factor. It's like, oh, it looks like I can see the Pokemon in the real world, but it didn't actually, in any tangible way, add to the experience outside of, oh, look, it is in the real world. And like maybe that's a powerful enough thing on its own, but it is incredibly difficult to do that properly because you have to do so many things right. You have to do depth detection, and you have to make sure that these 3D models don't like overlay unnaturally over objects, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You have to make sure that the frame rate is correct so that things don't jump around in an uncanny way. And all of these things are difficult to do and lead to bugs. Whereas having a virtual world, we've been doing that really well since the 90s. And so everyone just ended up turning it off because that was actually a better experience.
And you didn't drain your battery.
And you didn't drain your battery, and you didn't drain your battery. Yeah, I completely forgot about that. I think that the criticism of the Vision Pro having a 2 hour battery pack is completely unfounded, though. It's like if you're going to be working somewhere, you're going to have access to a plug point. Like if you're going to be sitting somewhere and working, you're going to plug it in. The 2 hour battery is just for those stints where you want to go and, I don't know, sit in your balcony and overlay your video call.
Yeah, actually, on the video calls, what I also thought was quite cool is the when you're doing like a FaceTime, I guess, how it uses like AI to give your avatar. So you're like, because obviously, like you can't record your face while you're having a FaceTime, so it kind of takes your face. And you have to like scan it in, and then it like creates like a sort of an AI avatar. And so you're actually just looking when you're seeing a FaceTime, it's actually just like an avatar of that person, and
Yeah.
which I also think is quite cool. But I mean, like Nvidia's been doing this for a while.
I think it's neat, but it's there's that uncanny valley of trying to capture like real people in 3D, and there's always something that's just like a bit off about it that makes it feel a bit weird. And I wonder if just like the fact that video calls don't necessarily have that high fidelity that'll kind of erase it just because in lieu of the fact that it's a bit of a lower quality video stream. But my feeling is that people will either default to like purely virtual characters like your Memoji or whatever, your Ugandan knuckles, and instead of like trying to perfectly recreate a 3D render of your actual face.
I guess because it wouldn't, I mean, if it's not video per se, then it could actually be quicker because it can send a signal of like representing what you look like and not necessarily the full video. So maybe it could be a quite quicker experience than using video.
Yeah, it's actually true.
I thought that would be a cool thing. So what do you think is the future, right? Obviously, I think we're waiting for it to be launched. I think it's only going to be launched next year. Meta Quest 3 apparently will be launched before that.
I think once there are, like, I think that the Apple Vision Pro is a step in the right direction. Like, it's very expensive, it's $3,500 on launch. But it's not as expensive as people think. Like, that's the same price as a high-end MacBook, and this has the same like computational capability as a high-end MacBook. So like if you get a MacBook and an external monitor, that's already well, it depends on which monitor you get. If you get Apple's XDR monitor, that's already twice as expensive as the Vision Pro. So my thinking is that like the fact that you can create a virtual space that has as many monitors as you can conceivably want, I don't actually see it as being particularly expensive. I personally am not going to buy it because it is a bit out of my price range. And also I'd want the tech to mature a bit before I do that. I do, however, think that this is going to sort of kick industry in gear to make things like this, right? Because everyone's been focusing on virtual reality headsets, but no one's been focusing on virtual workspaces. And outside of like a few in like hacker projects, no one's been focusing on workspaces. And I think that that's a really cool path. I think it's going to be kind of like the Tesla moment for electric cars, where Tesla wasn't the first electric car, but it was definitely the electric car company that really made the entire industry shift towards building electric cars. So I don't see my laptop going away because it's still a useful thing to look at, but I do see for dedicated work periods being able to step onto Mount Olympus and just like really get into the zone and crack out work over there will be neat. I don't know how I think like a lower cost device that just plugs into my MacBook will be good enough though. Something that has that high visual fidelity and that allows me to interact with my virtual setup in an easy way.
It's like, remember that I think it was Google Cardboard, where it's
Yeah.
basically like you take your phone and you slide it into this like cardboard box thing, and then you've kind of you've got like an AR VR
It was
experience.
surprising how well that worked.
Yeah.
But it was also a perfect example of how limited the utility of that was at the time. Right, you could do a bunch of tech demos, and that was it.
Yeah, I'm also I'm keen to see it. I'm keen to try it out. Maybe I'll try out some of the other VR experiences. Yeah, I need to get around to doing that. But I do agree. I think like if you can get to a point where it's achievable for people, like a lot of people to buy, I do think that it's a high price point, but that's fine for Apple's sake. But I think in terms of having a ubiquitous kind of compute revolution away from like smartphones, I
Yeah.
think it's going to have to be a lot cheaper in terms of the production. And I think, yeah, there's going to be like an all right enough for that virtual experience that you talk about, because I can imagine people who are maybe in, you know, less fortunate circumstances, they might be able to have at least a, you know, what, a 27-inch screen in the VR experience.
Yeah, and I think that would be great. Like if you are, in a house share with 27 other people somewhere in San Francisco, you can like sit on your cot and be in your workspace.
And I also think, like, for things like mindfulness and like relaxation, although there's nothing that's going to stop you from going outside.
There might be. There are a lot of cities where you can't just step outside and experience nature.
Exactly. So I think in terms of getting more connected to that, I think it might be a good thing to have these VR experiences. And then on the bad side, I also think, you know, that it can be, I don't know if I'm up for the future of everyone walking around with their Vision Pros around.
Me neither. Like, I don't like the idea, as I've expressed before, I don't like the idea of augmented reality. I don't like the idea of being that hyper connected. I already tried to reduce the amount that I use my cell phone. I don't actually want a live display in front of my eyes. Some people will, but I actually get the feeling that a lot of people won't, and that's just my gut feeling about my understanding of humanity. I might be proven wrong.
Like, I think public transport is where we'll see the most of it, right? Like, if people are taking like a long trip, I think you'll see it there. But it's interesting because with a phone, I mean, coming from South Africa, right? We have this like inbuilt knowledge that you don't flash your gear. So in South Africa, I think people will be safe because you're not going to walk around with your $3,500 Vision Pros on your
Dude, I
head
don't even walk
anywhere.
around with these headphones in South Africa.
Exactly. So I mean, I think there will be fine, but I think maybe in the UK, it's like another form of signaling, right? So people want to like signal their wealth so that they have like the headphones and they have like, you know, the Gucci glasses or whatever. So I think I like that sense is like you'll have people with like one Vision Pro and one with like the
Yeah.
Metas or like whatever else comes along.
I don't see the current Vision Pro as being a wearabout accessory at all, like by any means. But I do see Apple getting to the point where they do accessorize it. And the thing is that public perception changes really fast around these kinds of things. I remember when the first AirPods came out, people were like, oh, AirPods look so pretentious with their little white stem. But now, like, AirPods are just ubiquitous. You see them everywhere and no one gives them a second glance. So it might happen in the future. I know that Apple is trying to work on a lighter weight augmented reality set of glasses, kind of like a more modern and better version of Google Glass, but
So the duality seems to be shifting. Do you think the duality is going to be because we always have like Apple and Android, right? Do you think it's going to be like Apple and Meta?
hard to say. I think that they're trying to be different things. I think that Meta is trying to be more of like a socializing thing, whereas Apple's trying to be more of a work thing. Although, to be entirely honest, if you think about like Zuck's vision of the future, it's everyone being in meetings as avatars all day. So I don't know. But I think that there's going to be a bunch of new entrants to the race, and I think that there are going to be different headsets for different use cases and different kinds of people, and different price ranges, of course. I, for one, am only looking for a headset for work. I am not super interested in a headset for gaming, as I've expressed. The problem with gaming is the actual mobility and not necessarily the availability of virtual space. And also, it turns out, like, if you do anything particularly weird inside of a virtual world, is there's a good chance you're gonna have a bit of a nauseating time, so.